morning, church. Amen. Upon coming to trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord, one really has no idea what all the Lord might require of them in their earthly journey. Have you learned that to be true? Some will leave family and travel afar, while others will stay near home. Some will be required to sacrifice much, while others little. Some will suffer much hardship and others not. Some, like the Apostle Paul, may suffer martyrdom, while others, like John the Beloved, live very long lives. As it has been said, it's probably a good thing that God doesn't reveal all he has planned for us, for if we knew the upcoming bumps, potholes, and detours, it would terrify us, and of fear we would turn back. It is a grace of God that he brings us along as he does. He deals with us as individuals whom he, of his own goodwill, calls and gifts, equipping us for our particular journey. Along the way, we can't help but notice that God places one here and another there. He calls one to a season of relative calm and another to a season of trial. Why does God call one here and another there? One to accomplish this and another that, some to suffer greatly and some not at all. Well, the answer lies in the divine counsel of his will. He does as it pleases him for our good and his glory. And all the church said, amen. So the question is not, why does God call them to that and me to this, but how shall I live where God calls me? We recall the account of John 21, where the Apostle Peter, after denying Jesus three times and after Jesus died and rose again, the Lord told him, saying to Peter what kind of death he would die and glorify God. Peter was called to die a martyr's death. Upon hearing that, Peter turned and seeing John the Beloved asked, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus responded, if I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You follow me. No matter how variously God calls, gifts, and places us in this, the same and ultimate command comes to each one of us. And that definitive command is this, you follow me. And really, isn't that a summation of the Great Commission? You follow me. As this decisive command comes to each of us in the power and authority of Christ, we understand that we are called to follow Christ courageously, with boldness. Whatever our divine place in this life, we know that we are to live it out by faith in Christ, boldly following Christ as our Lord and Master. Our Christianity is to be lived courageously wherever the Lord leads us. Introduction on your handout. As we consider the text before us, we find three individuals whose calling, gifting, and station in life varied significantly. There is the Apostle Paul, who suffers imprisonment while facing execution. There is Pastor Timothy, who faces Paul's death and the fears and ongoing hardships of the pastorate. And there is a layman, Onesiphorus, of whom we know little and do not know if he suffered any persecution. While Paul commands Timothy to not be ashamed, we are informed here that both Paul and Onesiphorus were not ashamed. Each individual believer in their distinct God-appointed station is equally called to follow Christ without shame in the boldness of faith. Having so graciously encouraged Timothy to kindle afresh the gift of God that was in him, and having reminded him of God's gracious enablement to exercise that gift that God had granted him by a spirit of power, love, and discipline, Paul writes, verse 8, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Paul strongly exhorted Timothy, really this is a command, in light of God's gift and enablement, Paul commands Timothy to not be ashamed. The call to Timothy and the church, the entire church, is to respond boldly in that which God called and prepared you for. Roman number 1, do not be ashamed. And by the way, if you've read 2 Timothy or you've read ahead in our study, you'll see that this whole issue of being unashamed, not being ashamed, is throughout 2 Timothy. Paul's winding down his life and he's encouraging Timothy. Timothy, you got to stand. You can't be ashamed. And this is the message the church today needs to hear, that we as Christians would be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Greek word which appears here three times is excellently translated. With the exception of a few poor paraphrases, this word is consistently translated ashamed, except for the Bible in basic English, which has it, have no feelings of shame. So it means the same thing. My Greek dictionary says ashamed means to bring shame upon oneself or to be ashamed of something. In this case, Paul is telling Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel or the testimony of Christ. My old 1926 Webster's Dictionary, which, by the way, those old dictionaries by Webster are wonderfully theologically correct. In fact, if you go to those old dictionaries and you look up the word salvation, he has the plan of salvation right there in the dictionary. So if you can get a hold of one of those, that's great. From the 1950s and 60s and on, they're not so theologically correct. Anyway, you didn't need to hear that. My old 1926 Webster's Dictionary says, ashamed means to be affected by shame, abashed, or confused by guilt. Under shame, definition four, it says to be ashamed or unwilling to acknowledge. Timothy had a tendency toward fearful timidity, which he would turn inward and shrink back from the challenges involved in following Christ. Paul says to him, do not be ashamed. Don't be affected by shame and fear. Don't be introverted and withdraw when it comes to the gospel and persecution. Rather, be extroverted and go forth in the power of God. Don't fail to acknowledge the truth of Christ, but in the spirit of love, proclaim the crucified Christ. Don't be confused by a false sense of guilt, but exercise the sound mind which God has granted you. Don't allow a false sense of shame and its drummed up fear to keep you from confessing Christ, his gospel, and me, his prisoner. Timothy, don't be ashamed. But really, church, it's not enough to tell someone to buck up and stand bravely. They need to know for what they are bucking up and standing bravely. There must be a worthy cause for which to stand, and the more difficult the trial, the more worthy the cause must be. Paul exhorted Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't withdraw for fear of persecution, but willingly suffer persecution for the word of our Lord. Tim, don't be ashamed and withdraw from the ministry of Christ's word, but continue on and continue on boldly. Here is the reason, and it is the highest reasons for which to stand. We proclaim Christ's gospel. It is his truth. We declare Jesus Christ and him crucified. Here is the cause greater than our comfort, more important than our fear, and worthy of our life, Jesus Christ and him crucified. The saving truth of Jesus is worth all, church, for it's that by which we have come to know Christ and have gained everlasting life. Letter A, as Paul exhorted Timothy, we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because to be ashamed of the word of Christ is to be ashamed of Christ. You can't separate God from his word. It's his word. You can't separate the truth of Christ from Christ. It's his truth. To be ashamed of the gospel is indeed to be ashamed of Christ. And Paul wrote, don't be ashamed of me, the Lord's prisoner. Interesting, he doesn't call himself a victim, does he? He says, I'm the Lord's prisoner. I'm here serving the Lord in jail. As the 15th verse reveals, all who were in Asia were ashamed of Paul as they turned away from him. If Paul was a prisoner due to criminal activity, then there would be cause to be ashamed. But he was in prison for proclaiming Christ. The suffering apostle served God with a clear conscience, and Timothy and all believers should not be ashamed of him, but actually admire him, praising God for his willingness to suffer for Christ's name's sake. He could have backed out when they said, you're going to jail if you don't quit. He says, well, I'm not quitting. They take him to jail. And what's he do in jail? Proclaims the gospel. Letter B. Do not be ashamed of those who suffer for the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be embarrassed of them is to be embarrassed of the testimony of Christ. So Paul, telling Timothy not to be ashamed, exhorted him to take a different path with a very strong adversative, saying, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. The phrase, join with me in suffering, is from a compound word that means suffer evil with. Suffer wrongdoing with me. Suffer persecution with me. Whatever hardship comes to you for proclaiming the gospel, suffer it. Rather than being ashamed of him, Paul commands him to take action by joining with him, not fearing, but by faith embracing that suffering that comes to those who identify and follow Christ. Paul is not inviting Timothy to join him in prison, but to join him in suffering for the sake of the gospel in the same manner as he, that is, by the power of God. Timothy turned from retreating from the gospel to boldly advancing the gospel, just as I do here in prison. Do that. Advance the gospel by the power of God. Timothy, don't rely on your own energy. Don't trust in your own abilities. You are not to self-resist or self-endure, but live and proclaim Jesus according to God's power. Be careful when you think you stand, lest you fall. Letter C. It will not be by self-resolve that we endure what we suffer for the sake of the gospel, but it will be by the Spirit of the power of God, the love of Christ, and the discipline of the Holy Spirit. We endure suffering not by self-might nor by self-power, but by the power of our triune God. Now, if we operate in God's power, where do we lack power? We lack none. Where do we lack authority? We lack none. As long as we go in his name and pronounce his word and depend upon him, amen? How often we are ashamed of the testimony of the one we call Lord. How is it we call Jesus Lord and then are embarrassed to tell someone about him? Often we shrink back in shame, afraid to speak the truth of Christ. Whether it is in our home or the workplace or as a student among friends or enemies, when the opportunity arises, do you shrink back in a spirit of unholy timidity? Sometimes I do. But today, according to the Word of God, all of us, without exception, are to realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater than we are. Christ is the greatest of all causes for which we live and, if necessary, suffer. Jesus is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory, and Jesus, our Savior, is worth suffering persecution for. We're not going to go around looking for it, but if it comes, let us stand. And again, people think, well, this is awful dramatic. We live in a time of relative peace. Let me tell you something. If you read the Bible, you'll understand that for Christians, persecution's coming. And then if you don't believe that, which you should, then look at history and see that persecution cycles. And until the Lord comes again, there will be persecution upon Christians, and Christians all around the world are suffering persecution. So here I am saying you need to be ready. And you know, it's like paying your taxes. Every year, my wife and I save our money to pay taxes April 15th. And sometimes we don't owe them. Woo! Right? Celebrate, baby. Out on the town tonight. But if we owe them, we got the taxes. We're ready. Church, maybe the Lord will see that we do not suffer hardly any persecution. But better we be prepared than not. And I'm going to tell you, you're not going to attend church here and be able to say they didn't prepare us for persecution. Amen? We're looking at the Word of God. We see the time that Paul is writing Timothy, and we're looking in our world and seeing the time in which we live, and there's a lot of comparisons. Have you noticed that Christianity is losing its popularity? Have you noticed that even the state is starting to consider Christians an enemy? The Christian's agenda is not the world's agenda, and the world is not going to love us. Let me tell you, Jesus is worthy of all praise and honor and glory, and he is worth suffering persecution for. Come, let us join together whatever God has for you, whatever he has for me, whatever he calls us to. Today, by faith in Christ, let us determine that we will join together, and if called to suffer for the sake of the gospel, that we will do so according to the power of God. Now, if we are going to be unashamed of the testimony of our Lord and to willingly join in suffering for the sake of the gospel by the power of God, then we must comprehend the magnitude of the gospel. And we must comprehend God's attendant power toward us who believe. So here Paul reminds Timothy of the empowering gospel of God, saying, "It is God," verse 9, "who has saved us." That's the gospel, beloved. "And called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." This is the gospel. God saves according to his purpose and grace. God saves. God in eternity past set his love on you and determined to give his son Jesus to save you. God called you upward out of sin and ruin to life in Jesus Christ. He of his own choosing snatched you out of the world to be his very own. And this is the power of God. He saved and called us with a holy calling. The holy God issues a holy call that we would live a holy life, empowering us with his Holy Spirit, that we would endure suffering as we proclaim his holy Son. Everything about God is holy, and he has called us to holiness. No matter the adversity you face, you have the gospel and you have the power of God, for he calls you and he will work in you what he desires. And this hasn't come to us according to our works, and that's refreshing. This isn't our doing. If it were our doing, we would chicken out. We would shrink back in fear. But when you know your calling is a holy calling and God planned it from the foundation of the world, then you've got something to stand upon. This is no man-made religion. But God's saving and calling us is according to God's own purpose and grace, which he granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. We must get it out of our head that it's all about us and our doing. So long as we think it's about us, we will be ashamed of the gospel when we're pressed. We will fear what men will do, and we will turn tail and run from our holy calling. There are many, many good churches in these United States of America today, and even here in Albuquerque. But I have something to say about some of the not-so-good churches. Several think that their service to God is about them and their works. And in that, they become ashamed of the gospel. And they seek popularity. And they do everything they can in their services not to name hell and suffering. They certainly wouldn't, in their first paragraph, talk about somebody being martyred. They would resist that. Don't ever talk about that, because they're trying to bring in people who have no interest in the truth of Christ, who want their conscience soothed, who want to go to church and feel good and think they're all right, but not be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. We cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must pronounce it. And when it's hard, we must pronounce it. Because I'm going to tell you, I need the conviction of the Holy Spirit, because I need to be brought along. Amen? Not playing church here. We're not going to compromise the gospel. By no choice of our own, we whom God saved and called are involved in his work. We didn't choose him. He chose us. God chose us in Christ Jesus. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the very precious blood of Jesus. Our salvation and our calling is greater than us. Therefore, our concern for our comfort and security must diminish in the face of our high calling. It is God who called us, and he calls us according to his purpose and his grace, Philippians 2:13. It is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. This divine privilege was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. First, it was granted. It was given us. We didn't earn it, can't earn it. It is a grace of God to us that he works his purpose in us. By grace, it was granted to us that we should fulfill the purpose of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the one who suffered Calvary, making the way for God to save and call us. And then our calling is from all eternity. It's from all eternity that the God of grace determined to work his purposes in you. Do you understand how grand and how big this plan that we are involved in is? From all eternity. Before your mother and your fathers were born, he had a plan for you. From all eternity. It was determined before the creation of the world that Christ would die for our sins. It was predetermined by God that he of his own purpose and grace would save and call you. Shall we be ashamed of this saving power of the gospel? How can we be ashamed of that which is so grand and great? Letter D. Through a true knowledge of the enormity of the gospel and the power by which God saved us, we can stand unashamed of Christ even as we suffer for his gospel. I'll tell you, if you know little of the gospel, you're going to think little of standing in the day of trouble. But if you know much about God and you know how great God is, you will have great boldness in proclaiming the name of Christ. God's purpose and grace has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ, Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Christ has come. Salvation has come. The wages of sin have been paid for all whom God saves and calls, and with death abolished, Christ brings us life now and life immortal. We know this is true because it was revealed to us through the light of the gospel. Someone preached the gospel to us and we believed. I said that to somebody once. Somebody preached the gospel to you and you believed. And he said, no, I didn't. I read it in the Bible. And I said, Paul preached the gospel to you and you believed. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Someone preached the gospel to you and you believed. Shall we be ashamed of God's purpose and saving grace toward us? Will we withhold the very gospel he made known to us by which he saved and called us? We cannot be ashamed. We must be people of the word of God who pronounce the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is this gospel, Paul writes, verses 11 and 12, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. Roman numeral 2, Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was determined, even in jail, facing execution, to shamelessly follow Jesus. Why? What was going on in this man? Either he was mad or he knew something. He knew something. He knew that it was God from eternity past who saved and called him to be a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of this blessed gospel. He didn't stand for himself. He stood for God. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Paul, why aren't you ashamed of the gospel? For it, the gospel, is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. For in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. Paul knew the gospel, and he lived by faith. When he was in jail, he lived by faith. When he was beaten, he lived by faith. Facing execution, he lived by faith. So it was by faith that he gained from the gospel that he willfully suffered, knowing in whom he believed. Paul knew the God who called him and the Christ for whom he suffered. He knew Jesus, church, not with a mere informational knowledge. We have to be careful, family, here at Heritage. We have to be careful that people don't come in and think they're getting a bunch of knowledge and that's good enough. If you're coming in here just to get informational knowledge, please go home. But if you're coming in here to learn Christ and to know Him personally, please come. We have to be careful. Knowledge, intellectual knowledge about God puffs up. Beloved, our knowledge of God should humble us, not puff us up. Are you proud of what you know about God? Or has the truth of God humbled your soul? Paul knew Jesus not with mere informational knowledge, but with a deep, intimate, relational knowledge. He knew Christ. Christ was his Savior. Thus, he cherished the gospel of his God and Savior more than his own life. Letter A, Paul willingly suffered for the gospel of Christ, for he knew the Christ of the gospel. A true knowledge of Jesus will secure the soul and assure the sufferer. Further, Paul was not ashamed to suffer, for he was fully convinced that God himself could and would guard what he entrusted to him. Though it is undefined what this is that he entrusted to God, we're sure, can be sure, that Paul entrusted everything about himself to God. Paul willingly suffered for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ on account that he entrusted himself, his salvation, his calling, his ministry, his disciples, Timothy and Titus, his life and death, and everything else to God. He knew the God who chose him to save him before the creation of the world would keep him right until his faith became sight, when he would see his Savior face to face. How did he know that, church? By the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that the one who chose him before the foundation of the world would see him through till after the destruction of the world, when he would see Jesus. B, Paul willfully suffered persecution for the sake of the gospel, for by that gospel he was convinced that God who saved him would keep him. Be convinced in the God of the gospel and know that nothing will take you from his love. Nothing will separate you from his love. Romans chapter 8. What about you? Do you know Jesus? Do you intimately have a relationship with Jesus? Are you convinced by the gospel? Do you sit here as a spectator or someone who is involved? Do you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, the Savior? Have you been trusting God for things in this life rather than entrusting your life to God for all eternity? I love the word entrust. I love it. Years ago, I was on a big kick about it, and you'd hear it every Sunday. Maybe I'll start back up again. It is one thing to trust God for something. It is entirely another thing to entrust myself to God that He'll do what's right with me. Yes, trust God. Trust Him at His word. But entrust yourself to Him so that when things happen that are undesirable, we say, well, wait a minute, I'm not a prisoner and a victim of the system. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm in His hand. I'm no victim. I'll tell you, when I thought about that, and I talked about it so long, for so many months, people got tired of it. When I understood that whole thing of entrusting myself to God, I'm telling you, I never have experienced such peace and calm through the difficult situations of life. I'm in the Lord's hand. Lord, do with me as you will. You're a good God. And even if what you work is painful, it's for my good and it's for your glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if someone finds themselves ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can be sure that there is a serious deficiency. Such a one has not grasped the extent of the gospel nor the power of God and lacks a deep relationship with Christ Jesus. Believe this word. God saves and calls according to his divine purpose and grace. You can indeed entrust yourself to God, for faithful is he who calls you, and he will bring it to pass. He will bring your salvation to pass. He who chose you from the foundation of the world will see you all the way through the eternal ages. What can be done to set shame aside? Well, first of all, embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ, because if you embrace the gospel, you embrace him. Know that the God of grace saves and calls for his own purpose, and that he does this through the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. He saves and calls for his own purpose, and he does this through the sacrifice of his son. He didn't purchase you with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of his son, Jesus. Know that your life is not your own, but it belongs to God to do with as it pleases him. And that may shake us up. Maybe that scares you that I say that. Our life is his to do with as he pleases. But don't let that scare you. If you would come to know the Lord, you would know that whatever happens, he's keeping you. He's our heavenly Father. And he knows what is best for his children. And he works of love and mercy and grace. He does all things right. And the church said, amen. Let me tell you what you want. You want God to do with you as it pleases him. Because when you go your own way, it doesn't work out so well. Whether God calls you to a difficult place of persecution or to live out your salvation in ease, no matter, as a follower of Jesus Christ, God will keep you. Entrust yourself and everything about you to God. Say this, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And when you know Jesus, you can say that wholeheartedly. Letter C. Set your shame of Christ Jesus and his gospel aside by knowing Christ, believing in him, by believing God at his word, and by entrusting yourself to him. Know Jesus. Now the apostle instructs Timothy in how to maintain freedom from the shame of the gospel, and he writes this, verses 13 and 14, retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus, and guard through the Holy Spirit who indwells us the treasure which has been entrusted to you. If we by faith and love of Christ will retain the standard of the sound words of the Holy Scripture, then we will never be ashamed of him. Retaining means we just don't keep them, but we live by them and we embrace them and we understand them and cherish his word. Retain the Scripture. Let it sink deep into your heart and bear much good fruit, and you will not be ashamed of Christ. As we constantly possess the truth of Christ, we will never be embarrassed of him, and we won't be embarrassed of his suffering servants. The word of faith must be held fast as with a death grip, and then, holding fast to the gospel, we will let go of self-preservation. And as we seek not our own preservation, we will find no reason to be ashamed of Christ. Beloved, we must hold the word of God near and dear. For to hold fast his word is to hold fast to him. And whoever holds fast to Christ will never be ashamed. Letter D, retaining the standard of the gospel overcomes shame of the gospel and fear of suffering for Christ. Retaining the gospel overcomes shame and fear. Why? Because the word of God is the power of God, the authority of God. And through the power of the indwelling Spirit, we must guard the treasure which has been entrusted to us. As we are to entrust ourselves to God, we find here that God has entrusted the treasure of Christ and his word to us. Rather than of shame abandoning the gospel, we are, in the spirit of power, love, and discipline, must guard his entrusted word. not shrinking back, but embracing and running forward. It is ours to protect the gospel from error and those who would distort it. We must carefully watch over and protect the costly treasure God has entrusted to us, maintaining it as the apostles recorded it here in his written word. Don't believe it when they say, well, that's the Apostle Paul's word and it's not the Lord's word. The Apostle Paul was writing down the Lord's word as the Spirit breathed out the word to him. Well, that's Paul's opinion. Well, if Paul wrote down his opinion, it was God's opinion. Amen? And when they say, that doesn't apply today, run. Or else rebuke them. When they take Paul's word and they distort it and they try to make some kind of a new gospel that really isn't any gospel at all out of it, no. We must maintain the scripture as it is. Amen? And it's not ours to change. Add to and take away from the word of God, and every curse in the book is upon you. Letter E. The active guarding of the treasure of the gospel puts fear and shame of the gospel aside. Let us be defenders of the gospel rather than playing the ashamed, fearful victim. Will you be of those who so treasure the gospel that you watch over it, keeping it from contamination? Will you be of those who understand the gospel and seeing yourself as one who is so abundantly enriched in such a glorious treasure as the gospel that you would freely and sacrificially proclaim Christ, who has been freely and sacrificially proclaimed to you? Look, we're not to withhold the gospel. We're to guard it, protect it, and propagate it. Number one, God help us here at Heritage to be faithful to the proclamation of the gospel. If your pastors ever quit proclaiming the gospel, grab a hold of them and throw them out. I'm serious. If I quit proclaiming the gospel, get my attention, please. You'll be doing me the greatest of favors. God help us at Heritage to be faithful to the proclamation of the gospel. May we retain and guard the gospel as the most precious treasure it is. Let us always, and until we breathe our last, unashamedly proclaim Christ, admonishing everyone, teaching everyone with the wisdom of the gospel, that we may present everyone complete in Christ. For this purpose, let us labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within us. Colossians 1:28. And now verses 15 through 18. Paul wrote Timothy, "You are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me. Among them are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. But when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. The Lord grant to him a mercy from the Lord on that day. And you know very well what services he rendered at Ephesus." Roman numeral 3, Onesiphorus was not ashamed. We know nothing of Onesiphorus except that what we have here. Apparently he had means, and by the grace of God, he employed his means in supplying the needs of the saints ministering to the imprisoned Paul. No doubt he saw that when Paul suffered, he suffered, so he went to take care of him. Beloved, if persecution comes upon the church, and by the way, it is little by little as the government tries to interfere with the free workings of the church, and of course there's reason for that because there's many charlatans and churches out there that aren't doing what's right. And so they ought to be taken aside. But people say, well, what are you going to do when you give to the church a donation and no longer will the IRS allow you to deduct it from your taxes? Well, I suppose we'll just keep on giving. I don't give for a tax deduction. That's stupid. Amen. Let me give $100 so I can save $10 on my taxes. Now, I believe in the advantage. Now, I'm really going sideways here. I believe in the advantage because the way I see it personally, if I give $100 can save $10, then I can give $110. That's the way I see it. What are you going to do if they start taxing your property? I guess we'll pay our taxes. Are we trusting the government and dependent upon the government that we can make it one more day? Our trust is in God. And let me tell you something. God will provide. Amen? He will provide. What are you going to do when they tell you can't preach this and you can't preach that, which they're trying to do right now? We're going to preach what the Bible says. What are you going to do if they lock your doors? Then we're going to meet in our homes. What are you going to do if they take your homes? Then we're going to go out on the street. What are they going to do if they throw you in jail? Then you all are going to come visit. What if? Don't be ashamed. Follow Jesus. All who were in Asia were ashamed of Paul, having turned away from him, but not Onesiphorus. Paul declares that he was not ashamed of his chains. He was faithful to Christ and his prisoner Paul. Clearly, he knew Paul was imprisoned unjustly because of persecution, not a crime. So he joins with Paul. He's not ashamed of his chains. In the day, those imprisoned in the Roman dungeons were in great need of outside help. Sometimes, as Paul had been, they're imprisoned in their home. That's one thing. But when they're in the dungeon, that's a whole other story. They're dependent upon outsiders to supply basic needs. And it is known that those who would even assist the prisoners often put themselves at risk by being associated with the prisoner. Years earlier, Onesiphorus assisted Paul in Ephesus and years later came to the imprisoned Paul's aid. With urgency, he searched and he found Paul. He refreshed him. Just seeing him was probably a refreshing thing, but he refreshed him. He provided for his needs. He encouraged him and he lifted his heavy heart. Onesiphorus was not ashamed of Paul's chains. He was not afraid to be identified with Paul in church. To be unashamed, to identify with those who suffer for the gospel, is to be unashamed of the Christ of the gospel. Letter B, A, being unashamed of the gospel of Christ, Onesiphorus was unashamed to minister to the imprisoned Paul. And Jesus taught in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 25, that to the extent that we visit those in prison for belonging to Christ, Jesus counts our visit to them as a personal visit to him. You want to visit Jesus? Go visit those who are imprisoned in his name. Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." And as Paul pronounced a blessing upon Onesiphorus, no doubt the Lord granted mercy to his household. And we know that Onesiphorus will be granted mercy from the Lord on that great day. For to him and all who are unashamed of Christ's appearing, Jesus will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Letter B, the blessings of God are upon all who are not ashamed of his Son. And Jesus said, Matthew 10, 32 and 33, "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven." I want to ask you, where does God have you today? Are you a student? An adult? Single? Married? With or without children? Retired? Working? Are you educated or not much? White collar? Blue collar? Whatever your station in life, as diverse of a people as we are, Christ has the same calling for each one of us. Jesus says, "You follow me." Will you know Christ and follow him? Do you understand today that destiny lies before you? If you will know and confess Jesus as Savior and Lord, following him, then he will confess you before the Heavenly Father and eternal life will be yours. But if you deny Jesus, if you are ashamed of him and his gospel, then he will deny you as one he never knew. Your destiny lies before you. Today is an important day. Life and death lay before you. Choose today who you will serve. Believe the truth of Jesus and know him today. Embrace the gospel. Finally, then, where have you been ashamed of the testimony of the Lord? We all have at times. Even perhaps in our life now, there's places where ashamed to talk about the Lord, afraid. Here's the word of the Lord to us today. Be ashamed no longer. Consider the magnitude of the gospel of Jesus and think of the greatness of God's salvation toward you and be not ashamed. How can we be ashamed when we think of the gospel of Jesus? How can we be ashamed of God when we think about how graciously he saved us? As the Lord said to Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, or I apply it today. Don't be timid. Why? How can we be strong? How can we be courageous? How can we keep from trembling or being dismayed? How can we keep from timidity? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Whether you are like Timothy or Paul, Onesiphorus, or someone else, the calling is the same. Do not be ashamed of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And in the face of persecution, we have the comfort of our Lord's own words. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. Unashamedly confess Jesus as your Savior and Lord. No shame. And our Heavenly Father, we come before you and we confess our need to hear your word. We become complacent at times. Sometimes we are afraid to speak the truth. Sometimes, Lord, for fear of ramifications, we will not even pronounce your name. Help us, Lord, not to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord Jesus. And truly, our Heavenly Father, if Jesus is our Lord, let him be our Lord and Master. That we would say less of me and more of him. That we would see our place in this world as diminishing and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. To proclaim him. To admonish all people to follow after him. Lord, I pray that we will understand today that the call to follow you, to follow Jesus, is not a call that comes to one here and there, or only to those who are preachers of the gospel, but it comes to every one of us. And wherever you have us, whatever we do, you are calling us in that place to follow you. And Lord, I pray it will be a people who follow you without shame. Not ashamed of your gospel, not ashamed of your truth, not ashamed of the salvation you granted us. And Lord, we realize that as we go out in this world and live these lives, that you are calling us to testify and witness of you. For this is how you bring your elect in. This is how you gather your sheep in. By us proclaiming your truth. So Lord, as somebody preached the gospel to us and we believed, may we preach the gospel that your sheep may come into your fold and glorify you. Lord, help us not to be timid souls, but when it comes to your gospel, that we would proclaim it in your power, in your love, and with the discipline of a sound mind. I pray, Lord, that we believers at Heritage Christian Fellowship will step up. We will do what you've called us to do, and we'll do it boldly and courageously. And in the face of adversity, that we will not step back and shrink back, and we will not hide the light that you've given us under a bushel. But Lord, that we will uncover it so all may see. Lord, let us understand what you are calling us to, and let us know that you've not left us to ourselves, that we have to accomplish these things ourselves, but that you are mighty in us. And we step forward in the power of the God who saved us. Help us to comprehend, Lord, how great this calling is. That as you chose us from the foundation of the world, Lord, that this is much bigger than us. We have a holy duty, a divine calling. And Lord, may we not even for sparing our life, may we not step back. But Lord, may we stand up and be the bold believers you are calling us to be. Let us, Lord, follow in the example of Paul. Let us follow in his example and glorify you in all things. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen.